Welcome everyone to the Film Vault. That's Andrew Sun, Brian Bush, your host for the big summer preview episode. Yes, we're going to bring you ten. Well, you're going to bring them 10?
Yeah.
Wow.
15 movies between us.
Well, I mean, we're going to have some crossover for
most
sure.
Likely. Movies to look forward to this summer, including the release dates and all of the particulars. To look forward to that. In addition, I don't know. We got anything else? Oh, Fanfliction. Held
we're
over.
We're going to do a little Fanfliction, right? Nice. I got to find that. Thank you for reminding.
We're going to get to what the people have been watching. We're going to hear from the people, see what they've been seeing. And we will, of course, count down the summer films we're most excited to see.
Yes.
Very excited.
All right, let's start off with a little bit of Fanfliction. Thanks to Mitch Burns, who does this week in, week out. If you would also like to let us know what you've been seeing, what you've seen since the last time we talked to you, and you have a possibility of having your thoughts right on here on the program, you just do so over on the old Instagram or Facebook or the Twitter machine over there,
which the Elon
is
Twitter.
Free for the moment. Apparently, there's going to be a subscription model coming soon because he's getting rid of all the ads. Okay. The Deadly, of course you are, you bougie fuck. The Deadly Pocket Brush on Reddit says, saw The Northman, and while the main storyline was a little tropey, hey, and Hamlet-esque, I really enjoyed it. Visually and on the music side, I thought it was perfect and loved all the fantastical elements. Normally, I'd bitch about a long runtime, but it could have really used another 30 to 45 minutes to flesh out Amleth's story, Berserker
I
Days.
I disagree.
4 out of 5 stars. Yeah, I disagree with most of what he says.
But we arrived at the same place.
Yeah. I kind of liked seeing the immediate transformation. And back to like how we see
oh, like not him, going into his, like Jesus, not going into his teenage years.
I liked seeing the smash cut almost like Castaway where yeah, we see him removing his tooth in the cave and then smash cut to a very emaciated Tom Hanks fishing with a big beard. And back to what we were talking about in the last episode with the Northman and where we get inside of his now adult head, where last time we saw him, he was a scared little boy running through the woods for his life. And we
chopping
see
off noses.
His lack of reaction to one of his Viking brethren, killing two innocent little people. As much as I would have liked to have seen some concern and some distress on his face and some pathos, it would have changed the entire character.
Yeah, sure.
It was supposed to be he was brought to this through violence, and violence begets violence, and this is how these killing machines are created.
Single-minded in purpose.
Yes. All right, move on.
Was it only revenge?
Half-Bred on Reddit, saw The Northman, didn't watch any trailers, just saw the cast and decided to give it a go. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great either. Not really much to say about it, just a revenge flick. Wow. Half-Bred on Reddit. See, that's the difference. I mean, that's something I might have said, not to, pat myself on the back or make myself seem better, but I've given my life to movies as I said in the spoiler, which we did a spoiler on The Northman as well, and Half-Bred, if you're a Patreon listener, I suggest you listen to us sing its praises over there. I would have missed a whole lot of things if I saw this 20 years ago. I probably would have gone in thinking or hoping that it would be like Conan the Barbarian, which it is part.
True.
But I would not have appreciated all the extra choices made. And, yes, it comes.
It's a grown-up movie.
It is. It's a grown-up superhero movie is what it is.
In a sense, yeah.
And that's what Nicolas Cage's character kept saying is Nick Cage. He wanted to make a movie for adults. This movie is for adults and it's being rejected, resoundingly rejected by the audience and the lack of theater goers to see it, which is troubling. It's very troubling, Brian. Chris GRV on Reddit, the unbearable weight of mass and talent is what he saw, is Nick Cage at his most meta and meme-able. Pedro Pascal kept up with the craziness and intensity. Cage exudes. I was laughing through most of the film, and with the last string of films, it is safe to say Nick Cage is back. He went anywhere. Yeah. 4 out of 5 stars. And I was talking to Brian about this off air.
It's a callback.
I was at a screening of Leaving Las Vegas, just an advanced screening. I think this is, when it came out, like 20, 25 years ago. Yeah. At this theater.
It's in 95?
Something like that, yeah. I saw it at 94, 95. I saw it at this multiplex called the Sunset. It's now called the Sunset 5. It was the Lemley 5 when I saw it there. And I had no idea that Nick Cage and his then-girlfriend Patricia Arquette was going to be there. I actually lit Patricia Arquette's cigarette afterwards, which was very exciting for me because I loved Patricia Arquette so much. And Nick Cage and his director, Mike Figgis, were there to fielding questions after the movie ended, which was a treat for me. It was like a half-filled theater. It was a small theater, too. There was maybe 40 of us in there. And I asked Nick Cage a question. He had an upcoming movie. I think it was Guardian Test. It might have been something else. But I asked him about his next movie, which is kind of my move when I'm in these junkets and I'm interviewing filmmakers and stars and whatnot.
I know I'm here for this.
A lot of the time I ask about what's coming up because I'm always, you know, what's next, which is very annoying. I can tell you as an artist, it's very annoying to finish a project and then they just want to talk about what's next. It's like, let me take a breather here. Yeah. But I asked him, which version of Nick Cage are we going to get? This is like 94, 95, because I love Nick Cage, right? I was so excited that he was in front of me, and I got to ask a question. I was nervous, and I said, are we going to see? I think can you look up his IMDb for me while I do this and tell me what came out right after Leaving Las Vegas? This is before he won Best Actor for Leaving Las Vegas, which in my—
you were there for the premiere of
Leaving. Yeah, it was an advanced screening. In my opinion, like him winning the best actor for Leaving Las Vegas kind of ruined his career, sent it on a different trajectory, which I was not in favor of. So I asked him, I said, this next movie you're in, is it going to be a more reserved Nicolas Cage like that of Guarding Tess? I think that's the example I used. Or is it going to be more of a...
Now, are you sure you got the timeline right?
No, tell me.
The only reason I ask is because he did Kiss of Death and then Leaving Las Vegas in the same year, unless...
What's the next movie, though? What came out after Leaving Las Vegas?
The next three were The Rock, Con Air, and Face Off.
Hmm.
Followed by City of Angels and Snake Eyes. But that's 3 years later. You wouldn't even know about that.
No, yeah. Well, when did Guardian
Test?
Hold on. When was Guardian Test?
Give me 1 second. Because it looks like here... Okay, so it's possible... Leaving Las Vegas was limited release October of 95, wide release February 96, and then Kiss of Death the same year.
It might have been Kiss of Death. I think it was Kiss of Death.
Because that came out April of 95.
That was the Caruso movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was where he like had a problem with having metal in his mouth, and that was his main problem with being in jail, was he had to use like metal forks and stuff, and he hated it because he had an aversion to it, and that was what caused him to want the vengeance so badly. I think that might have been the movie I was asking him about. So I'm like, is it going to be a more reserved? When's Guardian Test? When was Guardian Test?
Guardian Test is quite a bit earlier, in early 94.
So that was the example that I cited. I said, is it going to be...
March of 94 it came out.
Is it going to be like a Guarding Test type Nicolas Cage, which is pretty reserved for the most part, or is it going to be like a sailor from Wild at Heart? Was kind of my question, and his immediate answer was what? And I followed it up with a less stuttering and stammering question.
It's good.
And he followed back with "You'll have to see." I think something along those lines. I can't even remember his answer. But I do remember his final answer, which was the handler said, all right, one more question from the audience, and then it's time to go. And they picked some idiot who was raising his hand, and his question was, what's your favorite color? I distinctly remember Nick Cage saying purple and immediately standing up and walking out quickly. Now, that Nick Cage that I saw before me, it's the only time I've ever been in the same room as Nick Cage. He was fairly reserved. Fairly like, I'm here because I have to be here. Like, yeah. He was that guy. And the version that we got of him in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent was a frenetic, over-the-top Nick Cage, which I don't think he is like. I don't love that version of Nick Cage that we got in The Unbearable. I know that he was doing a version of himself, but it was grating.
Okay. I didn't find it to be so, but I guess I understand. As you're a big fan, so you have certain expectations.
He's been stolen from me, and it's kind of like AFI fans, to date myself, but there are so many Davey Havoc AFI fans that were furious when they started getting radio play. Just furious. And I feel like Nicolas Cage was stolen from me.
Oh, dude, I was screening calls in that era, and they called up like, how dare you? Why are you playing them on the radio?
And we're like, that's not K-Rock. You're calling a nationally syndicated radio program.
No, I was screening calls for K-Rock.
Oh, that was for K-Rock. Yeah. Dean Longneck. Dean Longnecker on Back to Fan Afflictions. Dean Longnecker on Facebook. The Batman. Hey, good to hear from you, Dean, by the way. Don't know what the fuck is wrong with you two. Great movie. The wife, who only knows Batman from the Burton Nolan movies, understood what
That's
was going
pretty much
on.
The entirety of Batman.
What was going on throughout. I wasn't confused.
No point were I ever confused.
Your wife or anyone else's wife or anyone for that matter would be confused. It's a very slow, straightforward movie. We're right there learning all the clues with Somerset. And
Somerset.
It's just, it's a remake of a beloved movie. And I don't know if Batman needs to, you know, when do we get the love story? Is that coming soon?
The Batman love story?
No, the comic book love story. Is that coming?
Oh.
Because they're trying to, like, you know, do all these different genres. Like, there could be a genre for every horror, for every superhero movie could have its own genre.
Well, as far as graphic novels go, they must exist.
I know. It's coming. Raven Xavier on Facebook, back to the program. That's all he wrote. Oh. I guess he's signing this off. Well, I say that at the end of the Amazon read. Let's be fair, Raven Xavier. I don't think there's an actual movie called Back to the Program. And then Mitch Burns. This is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo, signing off. What is happening?
Yeah, well, I don't.
We need a producer on site to make sense of these things. And he has.
If you'd like to apply for the open producer position.
I don't understand. Oh, it's a link to Mitch Daly at Mitch Daly, and it's his letterbox, his PayPal. What are you doing there, Mitch? Twitter, Hollywood. He's got a link tree with his website with this link. Okay, thanks, Mitch, for derailing the program. But thank you very much for bringing Fanfliction, in all honesty, to the program week in, week out. All right, Brian.
We've got a bit of a cold.
Mm-hmm.
A little snuffles.
Have we ever done top five crotchety old men?
I don't think we have.
I think we need to do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What sparked that?
Better Brian McCauley asked if we had done that. All right. In case you missed it, looks like for the Patreon only next month, we will be doing top five directors as department stores / big box stores. We're going to figure out, we're going to pick five directors each and equate them with chain stores. Mm. You think Target, Walmart, Kohl's. That kind of thing.
Home Depot.
We're going to equate them. Maybe we can get Home Depot in there. And then finally, before moving on to our lists here, I want to read a very succinct Geo email. Go something like this. This is as it pertains to my editing ability.
Oh,
because
boy.
I was accused
a reference to you.
Of making two or three edits in a couple weeks ago in a episode that we did. I was accused of making edits that were identifiable. First of all, I don't edit unless Brian fucks up and I'm embarrassed.
That is rare.
Yes. Everything you hear is happening in real time for the most part, and we don't edit. Mm. We edit out some dead space in between segments, but that's it. So here's the email that Gio wrote to all of us. I don't know if you read this one.
I probably got it and didn't read it.
And let me give you a little context. Gio has been listening to my work going on 20 years now, maybe 25 years.
He's more familiar with your work than you are.
Gio knows. Yeah, he definitely. That's an absolutely true statement. Gio knows my ability better than I do. Here's what Gio says. Anderson's editing is so precise and clean, it takes hours to detect if it's even detectable. I have wasted large portions of my life trying to reverse engineer his Loveline best of to replace it with higher quality copies of each clip. The edit points are plentiful throughout the segments, but you can't find them.
Wow.
Most people would just reuse segments based on running time and not edit during the segments. Anyone saying they can spot Anderson's edits needs to come fucking blow me in this fucking hot tub, to quote Mel Gibson. I mean, I don't know why you'd have to go with the Mel Gibson quote there to stick your landing. You might have lost some people there in the very end, but you didn't lose me. I appreciate the kind words. Those are Geo-style kind words right there.
That's right. So. That's as good as it gets.
I mean, I'm not great at a lot of things, but I'm pretty good at editing and directing and writing, I think. Mm. Those are they're hard to come by, those jobs, but those are the only things I'm good at. Yeah, the smaller tasks, not too good.
Can't do it?
Yeah, ask me to like fix a leak. Oh, I'm fucked. Hey, man, I could do it. It'll just take me all afternoon, Brian.
Fix a leak.
Yeah, all afternoon. Mm. Tell me to.
This involves YouTube videos.
Tell me to clean my the filter of my pool. Oh, I'll do it. It'll just take me like 4 or 5 hours watching lots of YouTube videos. Lots of trips down to the department store and the pool store. Mm. The wife going, hey, honey, when are you going to be done? I don't know. I'm just covered in grease. I don't know. I'm working on it, honey. Jesus Christ. Oh, and I think I'm decent at raising a child. So the big thing is I'm pretty good at.
That one.
If I got to pick the things that I'm good at, I'm happy with the things I'm good at, but it's the little things that happen all throughout the day that I just suck at.
You should be an au pair.
Is it an au pair that writes the stories from scratch for the children? Because I could do that.
Au pair is like a high class nanny.
Yeah, I know. Do I get to write the actual children's tales?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
of course.
I'd be into that.
Let's preview the summer.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. 5 films for me, 10 for Anderson. Why don't you start off with your first two?
Yeah, and I also like to say that I did these in chronological order, as in the earlier they come out, the earlier you're going to hear about them. So it's not a succinct list as far as most anticipated. However, I can give that to you if you want, but I don't really actually have one. So I can't. I really can't.
So you run back at yourself immediately.
Immediately, yeah. I'm like, I can give one to you. And then I saw nope on my list. And I'm like, nope, I can't.
Can't do it.
Number 5 for me, and I did something similar as I did with the cult classics or cult films, right, which is small. So I got an indie and then followed up with a blockbuster or a blockbuster hopeful. Mm. May 13th is my earliest on the list, Brian, and it's a movie called The Innocents, which has already got a lot of buzz, has already played in many, many parts of the world, and is coming in at a pretty good rating, a 7.0. And this is from a director named Eskil Vogt.
Is it The Innocence or The Innocents?
The Innocents. Is there a difference with what you say?
Like the ones, sense, ones who are innocent or innocents. Like, I insist upon my innocence.
It's E-N-T-S. Innocence.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Innocence. Okay. Yeah, so it's not like someone's innocence. Right. It's a bunch of people who are innocent.
Okay.
And it's during that bright Nordic summer, a group of children.
Oh, you love Nordic.
A group of children reveal their dark and mysterious powers when the adults aren't looking. In this original and gripping supernatural thriller, playtime takes a dangerous turn. Hearing good early returns from this, people are enjoying Eskil Vogt's work here. He also wrote Thelma,
The Worst Person in the World,
as well as The Worst Person in the World. Nice. He is credited as a writer there. So this is a movie that has piqued my interest, and I am looking forward to being creeped out. I was looking at this just last night in bed next to my wife as she was watching something reality based, and she looked over and saw the still that is on the IMDb page for The Innocents, and she went, her immediate response, and it's a little girl, it's just a little girl smiling. Mm-hmm. And her immediate response was, ew, why does she look like that? I'm like, why? Well, it's a horror film about children. You have to make them look creeps, honey. And then my number 5 blockbuster, it comes out June 17th. Brian, if I had to go with only, I can only see one movie on my list, this would probably be it. And that's Lightyear.
Oh,
Pixar's Lightyear.
Give it to me.
Not going to get into the director or anything else, because it makes a little less sense when you're talking about animated films. But it stars the voices of Chris Evans, Kiki Palmer, and Dale Soles. Mm. And this is just a story of Buzz Lightyear as the actual Buzz Lightyear, not the toy that he plays in Toy Story.
The character that spawned the toy that we all love.
Another example of Hollywood and stories in general kind of eating their own tail, but if it's done well, why not? But I mean, everything has to be meta and reference to something else at this point, and this is the best possible example of that, I hope.
Okay.
The trailer looks phenomenal. This is Pixar looking like it's top tier Pixar.
Branching out.
And this is what got me thinking, because I was supposed to see The Bad Guys last weekend. Atticus and I have read the first 12 books so far. We're on 13 right now. Very excited. We've been counting the days to see The Bad Guys, and then he opted out right at the last minute, an hour before the movie. He decided, painful. I think he's still scared of the theater a little bit because of that one time with the Dolby.
Oh yeah, that's right. That freaked him out for the movie.
He didn't like the Dolby presentation with the fire and the loud waves and whatnot. Scared him before Onward. He's a little guy. He hasn't really wanted to go back since. I've traumatized him inadvertently, and it sucks.
Well, if that traumatized him, maybe it's a good thing that he hasn't gone back.
Yeah, he is a little soft still, which is good. I'd like a 5-year-old to be, you know, I don't want him to be all rough and tumble just yet. And we got him with the self-defense and karate, and they do some crazy grappling.
Really?
With the age-appropriate, you know, they're not like grappling with much older kids, but he's like grappling with our neighbor down the street.
Wow.
They're both, she's 6, he's 5. They're like rolling around on the ground. Really, their faces are both red when they're done.
Hot.
Yeah. No, Brian.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going with that.
Jesus Christ. But I was looking forward to the Bad Guys, seeing The Bad Guys in the theater with him. It'd be the first time we've been back to a movie in a while. And he opted out. However, it got me thinking when I was looking, at DreamWorks and what DreamWorks has done. That was a male lady.
I'm listening. Give me, no one needs to know that.
And DreamWorks made me realize that they're so different from Pixar, yet they're kind of in the same, you know, trying to be in the same realm.
They're trying to play in the same pool.
But that's what got me thinking department stores, because like one is one and the other one's a different type of department store.
One's Nordstrom, one Nordstrom Rack.
Kind of. Yeah, that's a good one. I was thinking more Bloomies. But
One's Banana Republic, one's Old Navy.
What? Banana Republic, right, with the deep pool.
I know, they're the same company.
Are they still around?
Yeah, I just went into one the other day. I had to return something. Oh, buddy. Hey, I saw this a week ago and I've been holding on to it because I want you to see it so bad. White hot.
American Summer.
The Abercrombie and Fitch documentary.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it.
Oh, so good. We need to talk about it. Number five for me is my earliest film that comes out coincidentally. This will be out next week as you hear this, and it's obviously not on your list because your first movie comes out after this. But I'll give it up. I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, directed by Sam Raimi, coming out May 6th. The Doctor Strange movie that came out initially was probably my favorite standalone Marvel MCU movie.
Really?
Maybe after Thor Ragnarok.
Really?
Yeah. I think I even assigned it to you. I think you weren't going to see it. And I was like, no, this is actually pretty good. And I think you begrudgingly gave it up.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's an interesting pick, Brian. To be your number one in all the Marvel movies. That's it, huh?
Well, is there a better standalone Marvel? I guess the original Iron Man, but I don't think it's better.
Oh, you mean something without standalone? No,
not an Avengers movie.
He's not an Avenger?
No, he spends a lot of time on the Avengers that like bring in all of the characters. This is like a solo.
I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, character story.
So you're saying it's not as good as like Civil War and Endgame and all those movies that love so much that you watch.
Oh no, Civil War sucks. Civil War is fine. Infinity War and Endgame are better.
Mm-hmm.
Than this.
Number four for me. This is my indie, and anyone who loves movies is very curious to see Men because of Alex Garland being at the helm. This is the first movie he's made since Annihilation, which I absolutely adored.
This was the last movie I left off my list.
Oh, how do you leave this off?
I got five solid choices, but I am...
The poster alone is just so creepy. Now I've seen this
trailer.
It's a solid trailer. Seen the trailer probably too many times, but it is good. It is good. But
also, you're going to be surprised to understand all five of mine are blockbusters.
That doesn't really surprise me.
Oh, okay, maybe you won't be surprised then.
A little bit, brother. So this is his third feature film, and he is currently shooting a movie called Civil War, Brian. Alex Garland.
Is that serious?
But Alex Garland.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Captain America?
Civil War? Brian, it's different. This one, it goes like this. Civil War. This is Alex Garland's After Men, which is a small movie. I would guess probably 15.
You should probably
million.
Reemphasize the actual movie that's on your list.
Men. Yeah, Men. But I'm moving on to...
By Alex Garland.
Yeah. But
what day does it come out?
Civil War will be coming out next year, and here's what it's about. It's plot. This is a weird one. Plot is under wraps, which it doesn't tell you a whole lot.
I'm gonna guess it involves the North and the South.
Yeah.
Slaves, muskets,
and it's all about their plot, like their war book playbook being under wraps. Mm. It sounds like plot.
Oh,
under,
literally.
This is a dumb joke I'm doing, and I'm trying to drive it home, and I'm failing. All right, so yes, Men. Which stars Buckley, who we both enjoyed
Jessica
her performance.
Buckley.
Yeah, we enjoyed her performance, even though Brian had no idea that she was connected to Olivia Colman in The Lost Daughter.
That was pathetic.
By Maggie Gyllenhaal from last year.
In my defense, I realized it two-thirds of the way through when they started to address her by the same name.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. I mean, they didn't spoon feed you for sure.
That was terrible.
But at the same time, it might have taken maybe 2 minutes for someone to figure that out, if that.
Like, it took me a good act.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, this is a movie about a young woman who goes on a solo vacation to the English countryside following the death of her ex-husband. And this could be another one of these psychological metaphor driven horror films where, you know, it's elevated horror, it looks like. And I guess Men are going to be the perpetrator. The evil perpetrator, the antagonist, as it were, Brad. Antagonist. I still worry when I say antagonist.
People are like, gonna, Anderson doesn't know.
You don't know how to say it. I mean, if people think God, I've been talking a lot. But if people really, if even one person thought that I was being serious about the pursuit of happiness being misspelled and they didn't care enough to actually fix the typo on the poster, if one person believes that, how many people are believing that when I say antagonist, well, I just don't know.
I remember now reading about the pursuit of happiness and like people would go to the filmmaker and be like, hey, great movie. You misspelled it on
they
the-
They didn't do that.
That's what I read.
You did not read that.
I did.
Did you really?
This is like at the time.
Oh, Jesus Christ, people.
Sorry.
So I was talking about watching the elephants get fed the other day, and it really upset me because the zookeepers don't remove the stickers off the produce. You know,
they just let them ingest it.
They just let them ingest it. Yeah, they just chuck like full zucchinis with the stickers. Mm-hmm. Every single piece of produce I saw thrown.
Is it so hard to find? Anyway,
right. Some of those stickers are hard to get off, and when you're feeding
them. My point is, it's so hard to find produce without the sticker.
And this also tells me they're not washing it. So anyways, I talked about this on the After Disaster, and I got a...
I'm not sure what that is.
I got an email. I'm sorry, I don't remember who sent me this email, but it was very funny. I still think about it. And they said, hey, just to let you know, Anderson, those stickers they put on produce are actually...
Edible.
Oh. And then his reasoning was, because you know, people. Because you know,
idiots comma, don't take them off.
People. Yeah. I mean, if you put something on food...
Sure.
You got to make sure that it's edible or else somebody's going to eat it.
There's going to be a certain percentage of population.
Those stickers that are on produce are edible because, you know,
people.
That was fucking good. Sorry, I'm not giving you credit. And it's probably somebody I go back and forth with a lot, but that was funny shit. All right. So Men is my indie for my number four. Alex Garland returns his third film. I'm very excited.
Because of my travels, I'm actually behind on the old AD there.
Oh, you got to get back into it, Brian.
I haven't heard the last episode. Very good.
I fight with Tyler.
You do that a lot.
He fights with me. Elvis is my big number four. This is the first Baz Luhrmann film, and I've actually been excited to see to an extent.
I didn't even bother seeing Australia.
This looks like a very fun, sex appeal driven Elvis that I could get on board with.
It's a good trailer too.
I love the look of Austin Butler, who I only know him as Tex from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. That's the only time I think I've seen him. Am I wrong? Yeah, I don't know if I've seen him in anything else. And he was great as Tex Watson.
I'm not quite sure. I do not know what nationality the old Colonel Tom Parker originates from there. But I don't know what accent he's doing in the trailer, but it's strange.
It is strange. He's hard to look at. We're talking about Tom Hanks' character. I think that he's going for that look on purpose. Maybe he looks just like Colonel Tom Parker, but it's... I mean, he's just hard to look at. He looks like a mistake, like a human mistake.
Wow. Oh, no, he's from the Netherlands. Okay, he's going for a foreign accent.
It sounded like a cartoon character. I was expecting like Who Framed Roger Rabbit character to show up on Elvis' shoulder and be whispering into his ear.
Kazoo.
Like,
hey, dum-dum.
Okay.
How's it going? All right.
That's my Men is the indie, and then Elvis, June 24th, I should say, for Elvis. It's the first Baz Luhrmann movie, which I'm actually somewhat excited to see. And Men is the independent film that I'm excited to see.
I'm excited.
May 20th.
I'm excited for Elvis, and I'm most excited to explore the Colonel Tom Parker phenomenon, because we would like to know what his birth name was upon birth in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Andreas Cornelius Dries van Kuyk.
Mm.
And he rebranded himself the Colonel Tom Parker.
Mm.
He supposedly wasn't a great guy.
Easier to say.
Anderson.
What?
Supposedly was not a great guy.
Why are you just
I thought you had some notion of Tom Parker.
I have no idea who he is.
Oh, he's Elvis's manager.
Well, I know that now from watching the trailer, but I'm not steeped in Elvis knowledge.
Well, neither am I, but I'm vaguely familiar with Tom Parker, and supposedly he was a bit of a Svengali.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I wonder if they'll get into that at all, or if he'll just be like a puff piece.
I think he'll be portrayed accurately. I can't see what.
You think so? I mean, they're making him look.
Well, he was a mastermind. Unpleasant. He clearly discovered Elvis Presley.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I guess we'll get into it when we see the film.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see that he doesn't want Elvis to have anything to do with the politics of the time, and apparently Elvis, old Elvis over there, he wanted to be involved. Yeah.
It has to do with everything that I'm doing here, shucking it.
It has to do with everything. Number four. I was thinking about doing it, but then I said, nope. Nope. July 22nd is my number four. The latest effort from writer-director Jordan Peele, of course, from Get Out and Us. I've had plenty of people ask me, mostly on social media and stuff, you know, especially because I think the Nope trailer premiered during the Super Bowl or something. Some could event. Right, it was a big event. Anyway, people were like, is he the next M. Night Shyamalan? And I'm like, let's ease up a bit. M. Night, the cement is pretty hard around M. Night, but old Jordan Poole there, or Jordan Peele, sorry, he's made one great movie and one pretty lame movie.
No, so. A lot of people love Us. A lot of people love
I don't think a lot of people
do. Talking about you and me. A lot of people love you and me.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's, right. That's a really good point.
Some people also like that movie, Us. By Jordan Peele.
There's probably a small number of people who love it.
No, there's a number of people who love it. It was up for awards, Bray.
It was.
Yeah, it was actually on the short list for Best Picture. Yeah, people are blinded.
That said, I'm more than willing to give Nope a chance.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Solid trailer. Hey, the guy's batting 500. I'm on board.
Us felt rushed. Us felt half-baked. I said it at the time. And it felt like somebody who had all the success in the world, was at the top of the mountain, was given the world. And, you know, sometimes it's having limitations that really brings the best out of you. And I felt like he was given too much too fast and had to deliver. And that could fuck with an artist. That can fuck with your head.
You are 100% right. I'm going to bring it back to something you brought up earlier, and I said I would, which is Kevin Smith. When Kevin Smith came out of the gates with Clerks, he was the flavor of the month, and it was a phenomenon. It was a big hit. And then he was given the keys to the kingdom, and he made Mallrats, and it was middling. I mean, I don't think it's a terrible movie, but it certainly wasn't very good. But famously...
Coochie bitchy.
Famously, he wrote in. I was a bit of a Kevin Smith fan back in the day, and he wrote in the preface to one of his books of screenplays. He's like, I received some very honest criticism, very thoughtful criticism, and it was that day that I started writing Chasing Amy. I think Chasing Amy is awesome.
It's very good.
It's really good, and hopefully this is the path that Jordan Peele follows, which is, yeah, he made this huge phenomenon, was given the keys to the kingdom, kind of fell on his face, but learned from it, and came back stronger.
Well, yeah, let's see. Every That's film that every filmmaker makes should be better from their own experience of making the film. You learn a ton as you go. And also, you know, from getting some good notes and some feedback and trusting the feedback and not letting it crush you, which is it's a fine line. And a lot of that comes down to, like, do you believe in yourself? Do you believe in what you're trying to do here? And do you have vision? And I do believe that he has vision. And I always go back to a quote that I heard him talking about. And this is not verbatim, but it was something along the lines that he loves horror films. He always enjoyed watching them, but he did not like the way that they were written because his experience was, don't go in there. Sure. Why would you go in there?
Why on earth would you do that?
And I think that watching with, he's half black, but I get the sense that he's more black than he is white. Mm-hmm. And I think that he grew up with black audiences, and he's making movies for the audiences that he grew up with watching these horror movies and making the characters make decisions that the audience members that he watched these movies when he was younger would make, which involves Nope and right. Get Out. Yeah, yeah. The literal things the title, that they would say. Yeah. So I really appreciate
That's
that.
Interesting.
And you see it in the actual trailer of this one is like, just nah. And they start going the other way. Whereas the white horse, I think it's white horse, is going right towards the thing, which is funny. I don't know if that's just coincidental and I'm reading too much in there, but Nope, I'm not. See what I did there?
That's good. Back to the Kevin Smith thing for 1 second. That's unintentional life advice that I've actually stuck with me since I read that in his book, fuck, whatever it was, the year 2000.
Is that what led you to sending out that questionnaire, that form to all your friends?
I think it's the same instinct.
Ryan asked for notes on himself.
That's true.
Yeah.
And all negative too.
Yeah. You wanted nothing but negative notes about you.
Yeah.
You didn't.
So I think that's how people grow.
You didn't send them to me.
How would you know about it?
Was it before?
I think I did send it to you. I was probably working with you. I was at Channel One, 2004.
When you sent out the notes request.
Yeah. You know what? I can look right now.
No, it's okay. If you did send one, I just ignored it.
Most people did. I got like six responses.
Yeah, that's what happens. Like I would, early days, Brian, before like, you know, sharing PDFs, I would print out my scripts, sorry trees, but I would print out my scripts, like five full scripts, put them in binders, and I would have a little questionnaire at the top and a little pen and a highlighter, and I would give them to five of my closest friends, knowing that I would get probably two back with notes.
And Anderson, there you are.
It's very helpful.
You're on the email.
Did I respond?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
This is back when we had Andersonny.
Oh, this is when I really hated you. Yeah, a lot.
Andersonny.
Right. Number three for me, this is my independent pick, and this is Marcel the Shell with Shoes. This comes out June 24th. This looks metaphorically sweet and literally sweet.
Actually sweet.
Very, very cute. This is Jenny Slate has been tweeting and posting these shorts on social media for quite some time. My wife is very familiar with Marcel the Shell. I was shocked. I had no idea that she would. But Marcel the Shell with Shoes On is a full feature-length film about this little animated shell who lives with his grandmother and sets out to find the rest of his family. And it looks very sweet, but possibly too sweet. Who knows? The trailer makes it seem like it might be too sweet for my own taste, but the animation looks great. We were talking about Joey Shanks earlier.
Joey.
Longtime listener to the program. And,
is he still listening?
Very talented artist. I was texting with him just a couple weeks ago, but he does stop motion animation like this stuff. Very, very talented artist. And can't help but think of him when watching this. He's worked on some movies like that we've watched.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Joey continues, and I can only imagine that he has an opinion, probably a very positive opinion about Marcel the Shell. If you have not seen the trailer for Marcel the Shell, take a look. It's delightful. Delightful. All right, that's my independent pick.
You're big, juicy.
My blockbuster movie is Thor, Love and Thunder.
Not familiar.
I should also say I watched the trailer for most of these movies as well.
And usually don't do that.
I know. I'm trying to get better at my job, Brian. I'm like, you know what?
Step it
for
up.
For the greater good, I got to just watch these trailers. You know, also it's important to see how these studios are marketing and who they're marketing to and if they're being honest in marketing them. So if I see a movie after having seen the trailer, I can, you know, be better equipped to tell you if it was spot on or not. And if they're mismarketing or misguided.
That's interesting. I wonder if trailers are getting better at that. Because there was a good long portion of our film history where trailers would mislead you on plenty of movies.
They do that still, but maybe to a lesser extent, especially with all the narrow casting
they're going for a specific
niche. Yeah, they got to make sure. But with something like The Northman, I think that they were looking for, the Michael Bay audience to come out as well. And they're being wildly disappointed.
God damn it. I was really hoping they would stick the one last joke in there at the end of
Unbearable,
because it ends with a very Michael Bay-esque shot, obviously nodding back to Nick Cage in his glory years of big action movies. And there's like the spinning shot of him hugging his family on screen.
What are you doing? Oh, yeah.
Well, the on screen. Yeah. I was just hoping it would say directed by Michael Bay. But it didn't.
You know what? I tried to sit through the credits and I'm just like, what am I doing? I didn't like this movie enough. But I bet that I would think there's a mid-roll or an end.
Did you appreciate the Paddington 2 references?
I did. I was surprised by it and I 100% agreed with it, but I felt like it was played for laughs and it wasn't really driving point.
Well, it was.
But it wasn't driving the point home that it's actually true. And I don't think
I disagree. The second viewing of it in the movie.
And when they're crying, I mean, it was definitely played for over the top laughs. And I think that it was, I would imagine a lot of people who have never seen Paddington 2, who like action movies, who like Nick Cage movies, watch that. And they think they're just being funny. Like, oh, of all movies, that stupid kids sequel. When it was on my top 10 list that year, it was a fucking amazing movie. I think it was George Miller's favorite director of Mad Max movies. I think it was George Miller's favorite movie of the year. It's phenomenal. Paddington 2 is great. I know, you know.
You have to convince me.
You know, it wasn't George Miller. It was
Tarantino.
No. Scorsese. Oh my God, I'm drawing a total blank on his name.
John Waters.
No, Nightmare Alley. Fuck Fish movie.
Guillermo
del Toro. It was his favorite movie of the year.
Fuck Fish movie.
All right, so Thor Love and Thunder is my number three. I watched the trailer. Remember when Wonder Woman came out a couple years ago, or maybe just last year, and it was that 1984 Wonder Woman.
It was good.
The 80s, and they were trying to really have fun with the 80s. Feels like Thor: Love and Thunder is actually doing
that.
Well, though. July 8th is when we get Thor: Love and Thunder, which I was wincing my eyes when I looked at the genres, Brian. I was expecting to see romance in there because there's room for it. There might be a little bit in there, but not enough to put it on IMDb, right? It's got action, adventure, fantasy.
That makes more sense.
Taiki Waititi is at the helm here again. And this one had me laughing in the trailer. There's a particular scene with talking about looking in the eyes of someone you love and heads tilting. That had me laughing out loud.
That's pretty funny.
It was very,
that
very
was Star Lord, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so we've got the Guardians of the Galaxy are coming up. I imagine some other Marvel characters. But what Taiki Waititi did with his last Thor is just exactly what I want from these kinds of movies. Rejuvenation. And fun. Because
Thor was kind of lame.
Thor. Yeah. And like he really thought that he could make a serious Thor that people... Thor is silly. It's all silly.
But Thor especially is absurd.
Totally absurd. He's a fucking god. It's ridiculous. Like you think of the amount of drugs that were done, and this is tropey, but it's true. Back in the day, like at the Marvel headquarters, when they were coming up with new characters and whatnot, and like pitching ideas,
the Norse god.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What if we had one of these guys?
Not bad. What can we do with him?
He's the ultimate superhero. He predates the rest of them.
He has a hammer.
He has a hammer that flies to him.
Number three has been mentioned. I am looking forward to Lightyear. June 17th, we'll get Lightyear, the Pixar origin story of the Buzz Lightyear character we all know and love. Chris Evans as the voice of the titular Brad. Buzz Lightyear.
I heard someone say that the other day.
Kiki Palmer having a big summer in this as well. The voice of Kiki Palmer, as is the voice of Taika Waititi.
Oh, yeah, he's in there. Kiki Palmer, I didn't see her movie that she starred in earlier in the year because it had terrible reviews.
Black people? And,
what?
It had black people in it, so you avoided
Brian, it. Brian, now I'm going to get emails from people who just say, why do you let him make jokes like that? I'm like, I don't let him. He's just his own dumb little lacking humor guy over
That's
there.
Really mean.
It's people, true, though, people bro. Say that. Every time you say, yeah, I absolutely do. I can't believe you continue. I'll get texts from friends who hear this shit. They're like, why do you sit across from that guy and not say anything? I'm like... You should see the looks I give him. And I do say things, and it just falls on deaf ears.
I can't hear you.
Brian's not very funny, but he's kind of like Eggers, thinking like he doesn't have much of a sense of humor, I don't think. He's got a lot of things going on, Robert Eggers does over there. But so he just has farts in his movies. And true. That's his.
But I'm also bad at being serious. So I get it both ends.
You're bad at being serious? Yeah. So every time there's a room for a dumb racist joke, Brian can't pass it up. Because he's like, here's an opportunity to be funny.
This wasn't a racist joke. This is a joke about you being racist.
Which is a racist joke.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Oh, what's your number? What's your next two?
Oh, I think I'm done.
Oh, no, you went first, right?
We got to take a break.
Yeah, taking a break. Going over some Amazon purchases.
What? No, Brian. What? You can't button hook me like that.
You weren't ready for it?
I found out that we're going to break with you. Right?
That's a good point. Amazon, next. Upon doing the Amazon purchases, going over them, editing them, copy and paste, I'm looking at all the purchases here, and I verbalized to Christy, my wife, I said, should we get an iRobot Roomba? And she goes, no, we don't need more stuff in this house. I said, but that's something that eliminates stuff.
Small stuff.
Yes. Admittedly, very small. You have an iRobot.
The wife was adamant. Oh, her parents got us one when we first moved in together. Pretty cool. But
same one?
It died.
Oh.
And then Jillian got one with the squared edges. Because if you have hardwood floors, if you have anything, it's great. It's like makes your house feel kind of automated. And they have with a firm now, you can just make monthly payments for a couple of years to offset the pain. Because they're expensive. Yeah, they are very expensive. She got one that has a mop, a little smaller version that comes out and mops up as well. And it squirts out the solution and then mops over things and has all these sensors.
Bizarre.
Every now and again, it yells out that it's on a cliff. And it's like, you're not on a cliff, dude. You're in my living room. But it sees a shadow and it thinks it's on a cliff.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyhow.
So I should not get one?
No, I think you should get one. It definitely keeps your floors clean, especially if you have a kid. But if you have somebody who can help clean your house once a week, because if you don't have time or you're not able to, do it well. Like I clean... the house. That was a deal that we have with the wife, but she tells me I do a very poor job. So
the Roomba it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or you get some help. It comes once a week or once every couple of weeks to come clean things.
Other things purchased on the Amazon banner include someone spent almost $3,000 getting an Asia Kumo compact SDI router with power supply. Thank you, whoever you are. That is a big ticket item.
A router? $3,000? I didn't know they made them.
I thought the exact same thing because I'm like, how the hell did that work? And I looked. It looks like it's for like a building. It's like a very long, like it's.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Like when you walk into like these places that are giant and they don't have our little router,
right?
Our
like
little
a hotel personal router, or an office building or something.
I wonder how many managers who have no idea about technology try that. Like they're
not working. Right. It works great right here.
Maybe we need to go one for each floor then. No, yeah, that makes sense. They got a giant one.
Someone spent almost $800 on 5 Brother Toner cartridges. Thank you for re-upping through us. 2, Ready Seal 5-gallon natural cedar stain and sealers. That's 10 gallons. Kindle Oasis was purchased. Works PowerShare cordless head trimmer. Someone got themselves an ILM Bluetooth integrated motorcycle helmet. You can get up to 6 riders on that motorcycle helmet talking on the intercom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Chit-chat.
I wonder if you hear things you're not supposed to hear every now and again. Somebody's like driving.
Someone forgets to turn the mic off. iRobot Roomba.
Or it's a stranger who's going by. You know what I mean?
Oh, like you pick up the same frequency. You pick up like their phone conversation. It's not bad. TCL, no. Ninja Foodie 6-in-1 air fryer. The aforementioned TCL Alto soundbar with wireless subwoofer.
Smart.
Starbucks coffee K-cup pods. Pike Place blend. 2 TP-Link Wi-Fi extenders. Maybe it's the same guy. Hestra Army leather patrol gauntlet. Logitech Lift vertical ergonomic mouse. YI 2-piece dome security camera. Now is capitalized. Now, Sports Nutrition Whey Protein Isolate and Isopure Whey Isolate Protein Powder were both purchased. Wagner Spray Tech controls spray stain if you want to spray your deck or anything be staining. 2 Amazon gift cards, each in the amount of $60. Georgia Pacific Angel Soft Bathroom Tissue. SunCloud Aviator Polarized Sunglasses.
Honest mistake.
Chef Man Electric Hot Water Pot. Melon A-Game Hydro Snapback Hat. Mirrors and More Recessed Medicine Cabinet. And an Amazon Basic Standby Surge Protector. That was actually pretty natural. I didn't have to fucking flex for that one.
Is this, do I hear you, the slapping of your back?
I'm tapping.
It seemed like
I'm
a pretty hard, pretty enthusiastic back pat to me. Here are the movies that were,
oh my God.
Jesus Christ, I talk all that shit and then I fuck up.
That was perfect.
It's not. If I was a good editor, I would just edit that out.
But you're not. Imperceptible. Imperceptible cuts.
If I was good, I would. You know what? Maybe I would. I try to make it sound like a bad edit. All right. I told you I'm not good at many things. Brian, here are the movies that were clicked through. This is the last time I talked to you. Yep. Someone got Batman Begins. We're going back to the beginning there, Brian. Incendies was clicked through. Hey, smart move. That's a Denis Villeneuve movie.
That's
which is
right. Early Denis Villeneuve.
Very good. Very, very good. Hard to follow at times, but rewarding, especially if you do keep watching. Lilo and Stitch was clicked through as well as Wet Hot American Summer. Who knew? I made a little dumb reference to that earlier in this program. Can't Hardly Wait was clicked through, as well as Desperado. The Three Burials of Melquita's Estrada was clicked through, as well as The Dark Knight Rises. Primer was clicked through as
you
well.
You didn't like Dr. Caligari?
I wonder if someone saw the Batman. They're like, maybe I should go watch those other Batman movies. You think that might be what's happening? That's probably
what happened.
Primer was clicked through as well as Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I remember that was one of the first digitally shot movies I saw. And I'm like, really? They're not there yet. It still looks like shit. Plus Johnny Depp's in it, so I'm out. We haven't talked to any about Johnny. I think we can move past. Cloud Atlas was clicked through as well as Lone Star. Hey, Brian loves his Lone Star because of some of the stuff. A Winter's Tale was clicked through as well as Little Giants. I need to watch that because I'm a coach. Turbo Kid was clicked through as well as The Family Thing. Don't Think Twice. Assault on Precinct 13. God, I hope it's the original. Fuck the Yes. The Quick and the Dead. Blind Spot and American Outlaws. The Batman in the Eyes of the World. Spider-Man Far From Home. Freaked. And Spider-Man No Way Home.
Freaked.
I just went right over Freaked, but yeah. I hope somebody feels me with the Freaked. I got a few emails from people who said, hey, love to hear about Freaked because I never hear about it. And I too love that movie. So
you assigned it to me. You talked about it a long time ago.
Okay. Well, not everyone listens. We got an episode. This is not After Disaster where people are like, you know, fanatical.
I disagree.
Of course, because you're involved. I got an email from somebody who listened to After Disaster the other day. They said they've listened to every single episode now 6 times. That's excessive.
That is a waste.
That's excessive. But you know what? If you do a whole lot of driving or something, you want the same friends in your head all the time. Yeah. I get it. I wonder how many hours.
I'd be worried about that person.
How many hours does that add up to? At least 600 per, and then six. That's 3,600 hours?
At least.
Or so?
Times 6. Yeah.
Wow. For a while there, we were doing like 15-minute episodes. All right. Hey, no, you know right. what? You know what?
Tom Parker.
Back to the program.
We're back. Time to finish up our summer preview list. This episode's going long.
Yeah, before that, though, Brian, I got to do a little assigner. I want to get this in the middle of the program, or at least coming out of a break so people hear it. And that is, we're going to be doing next week dancing scenes in non-musicals, thanks to Dan Fitzgerald.
Interesting.
I'll be talking to Dan about his list.
Ask Dan why.
Next week, because there's a lot of dancing scenes in non-musical movies, right. And that's going to be a fun list to expose the dancing scenes, I would imagine. A couple actors might show up more often than not.
I might text you what the topic is.
What?
I might text you in the ensuing day or two.
Oh, you're asking me the question?
Yeah.
And then also John Aramini, who has been very, very patient because we were supposed to watch this a couple weeks ago, and then we watched Shut In, and then we were supposed to watch it last week. But we're going to be finally be watching Who's Afraid of Virginia
Woolf?
Now, as many of you know, Brian and I have the TCL Roku TVs. All I did was hold the little button. I said, "Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?" And it showed me rental options. But if you continue to scroll down, there is a free option, and it's an app for that you can put on your TV, which I had never heard of, but it's free movies. Didn't I don't know if there's ads or anything, but I know that this could be streamed if you have, at least if you have access to a Roku.
I'm okay paying the $2.
Fire Stick as well. But Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? We watched thanks to John Aramini, our assigner next week. And once again, dancing scenes and non-musicals. Thanks to Dan Fitzgerald, our decider next week.
Okay. Right.
If you would like to be an assigner or decider or even just a Patreon member at any level, head over to just in the show notes at the very top of the page in the show notes on your app. You can just scroll down. You can see a link to it'll show you everything that you get, which is archive material, all of our bonus episodes, spoiler discussions. We just did one for The Northman. There's all sorts of goodies to be had. If you like Film Vault, it's just more Film Vault in your brain. And we put a lot of work into the Patreon extras. It's not just
It's the same amount of research as a regular topic.
And people have been asking for those Brian-less episodes that I did to keep your seat warm back when you first got diagnosed really with Mike Carano and Miss Movies. That. I will be posting those sooner than later. So, yeah, come on over and help support the program. Believe me, I need it worse than ever right now. Things are...
Flux. What about Addie's Antiques?
Oh, yeah, and then Addie's Antiques, there's also a link for that down there. I don't want to overdo this, but Jillian finally has a logo that she likes, and she was at Alec Trebek's house over the weekend. She went to Alec Trebek's estate sale.
Oh!
Yeah, she went with her mom. I stayed with the boy. But
anything good?
She didn't. Everything was obscenely overpriced, as you'd imagine. Some people can be like, "Hey, see that dictionary? Alec Trebek's house. He probably wrote some of the questions while looking at that dictionary." It's not how it works, Johnny. Oh, it's his dictionary.
I love that I have a whole narrative how that went.
Obscenely overpriced, but she got to see the house, and it was an interesting house. I guess it's kind of creepy, you know, people picking through dead people's houses. But yeah, she has an eye for stuff. So she's amassing quite a little collection that she cleans up, and then I take some nice pictures of.
It's a fun follow. And then we post Facebook.
It. Yeah, you follow it?
Fun follow on Facebook.
Oh, cool. And it's her Facebook Marketplace. She's not active socially on Facebook at all. She actually deleted her account some time ago.
Smart.
She's got the, if you're looking for high quality, antiques and vintage stuff, she really does have an eye. She'll show me something. She's like, "What do you think of this?" I'm like, "I don't." And then she'll, post it, and it will sell like later that day. And I'm like, "Okay, I don't know what you're into. It's not what I'm into." But she's like, "I like pretty things." Like, "Is that why you married me, honey?"
It's good.
Do not laugh at that, Brian.
No, it's good. Quick turn of phrase. All right, your turn to do your first two. There should be number 4 and 3.
Nope, that's not how it works, Brian. Here's two.
Yeah, the big and small.
Two. Yeah. So my two indie.
Big and small.
And I did this in chronological order, like I said. So this is coming out later. And this is June 17th is when official competition comes out. One of the main reasons why I have this on my list and I'm interested in it is... I like Penelope Cruz. I like Antonio Banderas.
Oh, yeah, they're together.
And I really like the idea of a wealthy businessman hires a famous filmmaker to help make a smash hit film. I like the, because I look at these people that have just obscene amounts of money. You know, there's many of them. We hear more and more about billionaires now than we ever have. Obviously, there's more of them. And I just, I can't help but think, like, if I had your money, I would just be making my own movies and funding movies nonstop, because that's where you know my passion lies.
Sure.
And it's kind of shocking that you don't see these moguls with their names on more movies, because movies are so goddamn important.
It's true. You get to be a big shot, show up the premiere.
So that's what this apparently explores. And it's directed by Marion Kahn and Gaston Duprat, who I'm not familiar with a ton of their work.
Gaston.
To be perfectly honest. Gaston. But I am excited to see this one. I should also say that I pulled 17 movies from the lineup for coming out over the next 4 months.
And these are the ones that made the cut?
These are the ones. But there's 17 movies that I hope to see over the next 4 months that are part of this longer list.
All right. What's your big one?
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Sorry.
Big.
Big movie, big blockbuster is Nope. The aforementioned Nope comes out July 22nd. We already covered it. I'm not going to spend any more time talking about Nope. I am excited to see it. Just the imagery alone and some of the creepophile-ness of it all looks good. Creepophile-ness, that's not a thing. But
you said you wouldn't talk more about it. Creepiness. Here you are talking more about it.
The mouths concern me, Brian. The mouths.
They don't seem to be complete.
They seem to be missing lips.
Number two for me is the aforementioned Thor, Love and Thunder, July 8th, written and directed by Taika Waititi. And yeah, it might be hard to catch lightning in a bottle again. Get it? But Thor Ragnarok was just so much goddamn fun. I am in for
I get it.
The follow-up to Thor Ragnarok.
Took me a minute.
Lightning in a bottle. Number one.
Number one, indie movie.
We might have the same number one. First time since Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
This is... Were we both equally jacked for that?
That was our number one for summer preview, number one for the Vaulties and the Listers number one. That was the first time that ever been, first and only time it's ever been done.
Seems overrated.
It does, given all those accolades. Go back. Accolades.
I'm going to change it George Lucas style after the fact. Revisionist history.
I can't tell the edit, so.
I can't help that, but be honest, Brian, that's all I can do. And I fucking love that movie. Once Upon a Time. All right, here we go. This is also a June 17th release. This is the latest independent movie to be released. As the months go on in the summer, as is often the case, independent movies start to shrivel as Marvel movies, like a virus, take over the theaters.
Top Gun Maverick.
No. The Forgiven.
Yes.
The Forgiven takes place over a weekend in the... Why are you saying that?
It's on my ulcerate.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Cool, tight. The Forgiven takes place over a weekend in the high Atlas Mountains of Morocco and explores the reverberations of a random accident on the lives of both the local Muslims and Western visitors to a house party in a grand villa. This sounds interesting, I guess, but like it depends on whose hands is it in. Well, I can tell you whose hands it's in. Jessica Chastain.
Yes.
Ralph Fiennes. Fiennes. Ray Fiennes. Fiennes. His fucking pronunciation of Ralph. Ray Fiennes and Matt Smith. Who you might know from Last Night in Soho.
Soho. And the more recent Morbius.
And The Crown. He plays Prince Philip. Or King Prince, yeah. John Michael McDonough is the writer,
not
director
with his
of this movie. He is brothers with the guy who brought us Three Billboards outside of Ebbing.
Martin McDonough.
And Seven Psychopaths. And John Michael McDonough. Who it's easy to confuse them both because they make similar movies. His brother also made, Martin McDonough, also made in Bruges. This guy's the guy that made The Guard, and he made Calvary, which I absolutely love.
Which you made me
and then somehow I missed War on Everyone, maybe on. Because it was so poorly rated, and I realized when seeing the trailer that this is not a movie that he would normally make, I didn't think. War on Everyone stars Alexander Skarsgård, who's also the Northman,
back.
And Michael Peña. And Theo James, look at that.
Hey.
Full circle. Theo James opens up Duel from a couple weeks ago. Arming from last...
Duel.
What I was talking about last week. Yeah. Anyways, the Calvary. Absolutely love Calvary,
yes,
right?
Indeed.
Oh, it opened up so many interesting discussions and thought processes throughout the watching the movie. I can only hope that this one with the Western and the Muslim world colliding, clashing, having interesting conversations, hopefully it lives up. This is...
Yeah, high hopes.
This, back to the title, is called...
Caleb Landry Jones, who you love so much.
The Forgiven.
Caleb.
Caleb.
Yeah,
Caleb.
Him.
He was very good in Knit Rom. He's also good in Four Billboards. It's all incestuous. Three Billboards.
You added a billboard.
I did. So yeah, The Forgiven, June 17th. Look for that. Hopefully this has a little bit of success. I know I will be confessing it.
Okay.
You know, I'm sure.
Number one.
Number one is Bullet Train, Brian.
Yeah, same. Same. I'm psyched for Bullet Train.
Bullet Train. You seen the trailer?
I have. It's quite enjoyable. July 29th, Bullet Train hits theaters, directed by David Leitch. He was the uncredited director of John Wick, also Atomic Blonde and Deadpool 2.
He does phenomenal things with action.
Yes, indeed.
He comes from the action stunt world. That's where he got his chops from, working behind the camera with the stunt crews, probably doing stunts in front of the camera as well for years and years. And then he decided to start making movies on his own, which is it's an unusual path. But I think that it's one that's proving so far to be a worthy path or a smart path, especially if you're going to be making action movies.
Well, I'm a fan, as you know, I brought up and I'm a fan of Atomic Blonde, whereas I feel like it was kind of received with mixed reviews. I loved it.
I loved some of it, and other parts of it I was like, okay. But like the action sequences were like, I always go back to that stairwell, like very long. There's some insanely long takes in his work. And the guy that planks on the stairwell, I don't know how he did that. I mean, it's as confounding as irreversible fire extinguisher to the head. Like, I don't understand how a man did that and didn't die. It must have been some kind of trickery. Maybe. But yeah, this reunites Sandra Bullock and Brad Pitt. I know we've all been wanting more of them ever since the Lost City.
Is that a bit of a spoiler? She's not in the trailer.
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
She's on IMDb.
She is being canon. Okay, there you go.
I mean, she's first build, so if she's not in the first trailer, she'll be in the second. Everyone will know she's
build
in there.
Build above Brad Pitt? Wow.
I mean, she is on the old IMDb. Yeah, and then if you're watching carefully, Brian, you'll see Aaron Taylor Johnson is in this as well, and he's one of my favorites. He is kick-ass, and he's in so many movies since. He's a very, very good character actor.
Brian Tyree Henry, Zazie Beetz, and Michael Shannon.
Yeah, I enjoy the Michael Shannon's involvement. So, yes, this might have been number one on my list. It's number one because of its release date being so late in the summer, deep in the summer.
Oh, I see.
But Bullet Train, Lightyear and Bullet Train are probably the two blockbusters that I have to see. Men is probably the biggest independent that I have to see.
Most notable. It's hard to say biggest.
Yeah. The one that if I had to choose The Forgiven or Men are the two that of the independents. But Marcel, the Shell, I really want to see that as well.
That rhymes.
I think that's why they called it that, Brad. Marcel, the Shell.
Do we have a listener top five? Sorry to spring this on you at this part of the show.
Oh, no. Do we not?
Oh, no.
Oh, Avery. Listener top five. There it is. Thanks to Jordan Wolf, who compiles this list. And here is the listener top five. Brian, thank you for guiding me down this path. I would have glossed right over it like I did a couple weeks ago. No consensus for a complete list this week, but I will pass on a few movies that were mentioned by the listeners. This is from Jordan Wolf. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is on the list, as well as Top Gun 2, Thor Love and Thunder, Men, Death on the Nile. You guys.
Did that come out 3 weeks ago?
You guys. Bullet Train is on the list, as well as Bob's Burgers.
I've been tortured by that trailer.
It's funny. And I can only imagine how funny it would be if I was familiar with the characters and I watched it. And some of you have told me to watch it, and don't tell me to watch it again because I'm still not going to. I don't have much time. But yeah, Bob's Burgers rounds out.
We should watch it in theater and then have lots of questions. So are they related?
We should sit together and just be like the annoying fox. All right, that's it.
All right.
What are you saying there, buddy? You want to wrap this puppy up?
Wrap it up.
Final thought on my newfound, my awakening.
Gamble.
And my new found exuberance or energy.
For bringing movies to the masses.
I don't know if you noticed this, and I'm not naming names, and I'm not singling particular projects out, but so many movies coming out this summer, and summer's not a time where you normally see first-time directors making cute little fun, dramatic type comedies.
It's the deep end of the pool.
And there's a lot of people who don't have any much experience, if any experience, behind a camera. They have some experience in front of the camera, but it seems like they're being handed projects. I don't know. Maybe they're not being handed. Maybe I'm being unfair, but it seems speaking as someone who's been doing this for 25, 30 years, looking at upcoming projects and who's behind them. I studied this for over 30 years. I've been every single season. I look to see what's coming out. back before IMDb and the internet, like I would literally get like the LA Times calendar section, right, which was very detailed. They'd have a preview section certain times of the year, and I would cut and paste. I would cut out, literally cut out the ones that I was excited about.
Put
and
them
paste
in the top them in five? The,
I still have the little, on my little folder where I'd paste them in there and highlight the ones that I had seen.
Please bring it in.
Fucking nerd. I'm a nerd, right? I don't think ever have I seen so many inexperienced writer, directors, people being given an opportunity to make them. Now we need new, fresh voices. Obviously, it's like rookies. You always need new ones coming in. But I don't know if I've ever seen, and I don't know if optics are I believe optics are more being thought of than.
Can we cut this part of the
show? Than the actual movie at times. And I'm worried. I'm just literally, this is coming from a place of concern. Because movies are, like I said, they're in peril. Mm. They have more adversity now than ever before because of all the challenges that they're fending off with eyeballs. They're having a hard time getting butts in the seats. True. Because people would rather sit home and binge fucking bad TV shows that they think are good, or God, so demeaning, or you know, play video games, or you know, who knows?
Any number of. So
people are seeing less movies and they're banging less as well. I don't. They're not connected, but I just thought I thought I'd throw that out there. And it seems like right now is not the greatest time to be, you know, going with things that are for optics sake rather than making sure that the best product is being put forth. And that concerns me because this might be the death blow for Hollywood. It's like there's so many bad things happening to it right now. I don't know if it's weak. It's on its knees and, you know, being held hostage by stuff. I don't know.
Well, looking at this list that we compiled, there's some big, juicy, you know, big tentpole.
Yeah, maybe I'm not being fair. I'm just noticing that for the more first-time directors who have nothing other than acting credits are being handed the keys. And, you know, I could be proven wrong. And I hope that I'm proven wrong. But it seems like mediocrity is really rising.
Let the movies speak for themselves.
I'm speaking also from my experience in watching, doing the Sundance research, as well as the winter and fall preview from last year. Okay. It's
a trend.
It is a trend, and I think that movies need to rise above all other entertainment more than ever before right now, and it's not the time to bring in the rookie squad to appease. Mm. You know what I mean?
I know, but I'm also willing to let's see these movies and see where the cookie crumbles.
Okay. I feel like guys like Ridley Scott should be working at scale right now. So, you know, making as many movies as he possibly can to make sure that
to even out
and now,
as ballast.
It's old man Cowan over here talking maybe, but you know, all right. Okay.
Just spit it out, buddy. All right, let's gamble and get out of here. Come on. We got to go.
All right. What are we gambling on?
Well, we I think you won the Northman. I went lower, I think. Is no one keeping track of this? This is a real failing. If you'd like to apply for the open producer spot,
it's not open. I have weekly meetings, as I told you.
Hey, in those weekly meetings, mention sending along those scores.
Okay. You know what? I probably should have had something at the ready. And you know what we're gonna do? You know what we're gonna watch?
I'd like to learn.
You know what we're gonna watch?
Hold on. Ah, Mike Cole comes through again. You guessed 87 for The Northman, and I guessed 76. 87, I think, was only one off of what it actually ended up being. So good for you.
Hmm. All right. I don't have anything right off. All right, you're gonna watch Lady in the Water.
Oh, well, you can wait.
You're gonna watch. No, you know what? You're gonna watch Tape. Tape.
Tape.
Tape. We're all going to go back to the roots. We're all going to go back to the first video film that I actually like, shot on video tape. It's called a bottle film, if you want to call it that, Brian. It all takes place in one spot. There's two actors, and then maybe there's a third. This is a phenomenal movie that you're going
to
watch.
The only thing, we need to find where it's streaming, because right now Just Watch tells us Tape is not available for streaming.
How is that fucking possible? I'm only reporting. Bricks! What's going on? All right, well, it's Tape unless you hear otherwise, all right? Well, I'm sure we can find it. How dare you? Not stream? You can't even rent it anywhere?
I like you went to the place where I just was.
No, I'm not. You really think I'm that dumb? How dumb do you think I am? Come on now. Hey, look, I found a 2-minute clip.
Possibly Tape, possibly something else.
Jeez, what the what in the world? Why is tape? Mm. Yeah, it's all cut up, and you can find like clunk.
That's how I watched the vampire movie Near Dark.
No, that's not. Man, all right, you're gonna watch Lady in the Water. There you go.
Well, you take
it's that
time.
Or the Postman.
Take your time.
I think you're gonna watch Lady in the Water. Postman. I think you're gonna like Lady in the Water, and Mike Shyamalan's movie that Brian missed, Lady in the Water.
Why don't you assign me Duel?
No, because you should have watched Duel weeks ago for the good of the show.
Now we got to gamble.
Jesus Christ. I read a comment a couple weeks ago that the show's been more wires exposed since Logan left, and now it's in my head, and you know how I deal with that?
How's that?
More wires
exposed. More wires.
Yeah.
The only wire... Oh, boy, this is
I feel
exciting.
Like Ash, the...
literally, wires exposed.
I feel like Ash in
covered
Alien.
In milk.
Yeah.
The Brian, only
get that
movie,
milk off your face. Gross.
The only movie opening wide this week is Memory. The Liam Neeson.
Oh, I can't wait to not see that.
My son, that too.
Brian.
The Liam Neeson action thriller.
No.
That's the only movie going wide.
No. Hold on. Let me check.
I don't recognize any of these other titles.
Oh, Vortex.
What the fuck is Vortex?
All right, here's Vortex, Brian. I think maybe we should gamble on Vortex.
Well, I don't know what that is.
I'm going to tell you what it is, Brian. This is a 2-hour and 20-minute Gaspar Noé film. And it's about the last days of an elderly couple stricken by dementia. I could have assigned you that.
You know what? That could also be titled Memory.
It could be. Vortex, Brian.
Do you want to do Vortex? Do you see the score?
No. I can tell you with the less than 1,000 reviews on IMDb, it's 7.5 right now. But I mean, this is early Gaspar Noé and European audiences primarily weighing in with ratings on IMDb at this point. Dario Argento, the legend, Dario Argento plays one of the old fellas, half of the two-hander.
All right, so this is the next week Doctor Strange comes out and we'll have a more robust film to
Vortex, gamble. Brian.
Do you want to do Vortex?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 7.4 on IMDb.
7.5 on IMDb. Okay. That's out of 10, Brian.
Interesting.
With less than 1,000 reviews. So it's early, but 2 hours. Okay, so I hated Amour. Michael Haneke's Amour,
sure.
If you recall.
Like, I remember being very enjoyable.
It's a one-star movie. And not for it being a bad movie. Mm-hmm. It's just my experience was one of the worst experiences I've ever had watching these two old people just take care of one another and be like, I fucking hated it. It was a scary movie and it made me feel awful.
That's actually one of the most terrifying movies I've ever seen.
I hate it. And looking back, maybe one star is not fair. I just wanted to warn audiences that this is not a way you should spend. We're going to all have to spend too many years there probably. Why spend it prematurely in a theater with strangers? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
This is that again. This is that again, but from Gaspar Noé.
Okay. I don't know.
Is this movie insufferable? Is it?
Is it celebrated?
Is it critic proof? I don't know. I haven't even seen the trailer on this. That seems like a big ask. 2 hours and 20 minutes. Are you ready?
I don't know where to go with this.
I know where to go.
Okay.
You come up with a score and you tell it to me.
Okay. I wrote it down.
All right. 1, 2, 86.
79.
Close. All right. Why don't you look it up there, Rotten Tomatoes?
Do we know?
Just push refresh and see what it became since we gambled.
That's it. Almost certainly would not have changed in the. Oh, no. It's 96%.
How many people? How many people have endured?
96 on Tomatoes.
Oh, you know what the gamble should have been?
24 reviews.
You know what? It should have been a predetermined wager with this one, and it would have been the loser has to see
Vortex,
because I think I'm going to avoid at all costs.
I'm not going to. No, under no circumstances.
There might be circumstances, Brian.
Oh, jeez. Under no circumstances would I voluntarily see this.
How many critics have
Slant Magazine calls it merciless but affecting.
That's Amour. I don't want more.
Jessica Klang says death may not be very pleasant, but .. Mm. Eric Cohn from IndieWire says Vortex has certainly benefited from a few trims.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
These are all positive reviews. Holy shit.
Mm.
The Deadline Hollywood Daily says the prolonged period spent with these two does provide a bracing, depressing, realistic, and altogether sobering insight into what your grandparents, parents, and one day you will have to face if you live long enough.
This movie's already been made by Michael Haneke. Did you saw more, right? You watched it. We just talked about it, and you said that it was one of the scariest movies you've ever seen. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're all we're all pretty much, for the most part, except for those of us taking out, like, you know, like that or in our sleep, we're all going to get, even if you get taken out in your sleep, you're going to spend the last many years, possibly, with your loved one.
I got to go. Thank you to David Gulick for the
as an old part. Losing your mind. Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's you.
I don't want to see this at all.
Have you seen it? Oh,
I'm talking about Vortex.
Listener art's very
good. I can't wait to hear you talk about it, though.
Thanks, David Gulick, for the excellent listener art. Dead Cat Hat is our featured artist. Check out Patreon. We got a new spoiler edition for the Northman up there.
Do you see you in Escape from New York poster?
Stop that. Stop that.
Ryan, I love you. I love to chirp you and have fun with you, but that does not look like you.
How do we know it is me?
Because it looks enough like you that I can tell that that's you. Do you see Tyler and Mike Carano? This is one of my favorite ones ever. This is fucking great. So I'm Snake Plissken.
The title of this in the email is Escape from After Disaster, but it says Escape from New York on the poster.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was made with the After Disaster in mind, but it works here as well.
All right. Thanks, Gio. Thanks, Jordan Wolf, Mitch Burns, and Mike Cole. You saved the day. Appreciate you. Check out AndersonBryan.com, Anderson and Brian on Instagram, and the Film Vaults on Facebook, Twitter, and Patreon. Until next time,
we do it for Van Gogh.